On this week's show,
we get to find out what Starfleet retirement homes look like with Jean-Luc Picard.
Scotty!
Hey, Captain!
What's going on down there?
Captain, I've lost complete control of my bowels.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And then I die because it was poison.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's a lesbian pretending to be a Terminator. I'll talk about that crap Terminator poster.
And we finish it off by talking about the Venom trailer. Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, geeks, symbiotes, people who live in space, people who are scared of the rain, people who are Terminators, and other things. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And a man who sent a text message earlier saying that he was suffering from a sore throat, which I've got no signs of, and I can only presume that he's been chugging cock. It's Nigel.
I said coke. That's that time when you deliberately mishear something. And you do a double take and go, yeah, we definitely said coke, but I'm going to make him say cock. And you turn to your wife and you say to them, he definitely just said he can't talk to me because he's been chugging cock. And that's how rumours start, kids.
And we're also joined...
It's one I choose to believe.
For the first time this year...
Oh, fuck off.
By a man who did, whose body... was so against mixing down last week's podcast that it tried to escape from every fucking orifice.
I nearly died.
You nearly died. No, you didn't. Not when you got fucking modern medicine around. In the old days of like kind of dysentery and whatnot, then I could understand that you may have died, but not at the moment. It's just a couple of diarrhea-like tablets, booze, you'd be fine.
To be fair, if you go back like 200 years to the 1800s, if you were someone of Keith's size, you would typically be very wealthy, so you could afford the best healthcare anyway. So Keith would have been fine.
True.
Hi, true. You see where I gave a compliment and then I took it away?
Yeah, I saw that.
Backhanded compliment.
Yeah, don't chuck on some more cock.
Okay. Yeah, I've just slapped you in the face with my cock and balls.
Okay, so, all right. So the rundown for this week is we're going to be talking about stuff around Star Trek, because I've got some stuff to say about Star Trek. The Danish drama Rain, which Nige Slow's Band Alive finally got around to watching, apart from almost, the last episode.
Almost all of them. I'm cheering, by the way. I've got my hands up. I'm cheering.
I want to talk about the... Netflix cartoon series Final Space, because I think it's fucking brilliant. Then I want to talk about the Terminator poster, which I'm deeply worried by. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the Venom trailer, which was the trailer that was at San Diego Comic-Con and then kind of released, but then had stuff chopped out of it. So let's start off with Star Trek, not H. Keith, whatever your name is. Arse man.
So it's been rumoured for quite a while that Patrick Stewart was going to be involved in some way or another back in the Star Trek universe. Well, today it's been officially confirmed that he is having a series around him. And the series is being billed as the next phase of Picard's life. So life after the Enterprise.
Okay,
so there's already a gazillion memes around. So people have taken the meme of him in Wolverine, and it's Star Trek retirement homes and things like that. And there's loads of people, you know, taking the piss like Star Trek Zimmer frames and all this kind of crap. Fuck it. I'm up for this. I'm actually more excited about this than I am at anything in Discovery, because if they're going to do a Picard series. That means you one you're going into the future. We're finally getting something where people can't bitch about continuity because there hasn't been written yet. Two, if it has even a quarter of the production value of Discovery, it's going to look awesome. And I actually think this is going to end up being more popular and viewed by more people than Discovery will ever be. I think this will become the top leading Star Trek series because everyone's gone, Picard, back in Star Trek, yeah, I'm up for that. Or you immediately buy in all the old Trekkies by doing this.
Hmm.
I've got a theory behind this.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear my theory?
Go on. Sell us on your theory.
Here comes my theory. I reckon they're going to do what you refer to as a pilot by the back door.
Backdoor pilot. That's what they're called. That's what they called the Flash pilot in Arrow. They're known as backdoor pilots. That's what they're doing this year for the crossover.
Backdoor pilots?
I know, I know, but seriously.
You better watch him. He's a backdoor pilot.
The new Batgirl series is getting a backdoor pilot via the crossover event this year with Flash and Arrow.
Okay. Anyway, fucking backdoor pilot. I think that the event that they're interacting with in Discovery is a temporal event. These things, and I reckon it's the Borg. I reckon the Borg are trying to come back through time again. Didn't work the first time. They could have done it many times before, yeah? And I think that that's what it is. I think that the thing that she sees is like, referred to as like a proto-Borg sort of thing, where you've got these people that are being interfaced with technology because you kind of looks... They say it's got wings. They look more like cables to me. Makes me think of... did you ever watch the Battlestar Galactica Blood and Steel? The Blood and Steel?
Yes.
Yeah, that was brilliant, yeah? Yes, and then you had the proto kind of Cylon for Six in that.
Yes.
That's kind of what I'm thinking that thing is like. It may not be the case. It may be it's just Michael Burnham's awesomeness. It's going to tear a hole in the fabric of space-time, which would probably be the story.
Michael Burnham's awesomeness.
He's a terrible character.
Michael Burnham is awesome.
Oh God, no! Right, I watched one guy, and he watches The Expanse, and he watches Star Trek Discovery, and he says Michael Burnham is most like Naomi Nagata, yeah, because she's strong-willed, she's a genius when it comes to doing engineering and stuff like that, yeah, and she don't take no shit from anyone. And then he turned around and went, Michael Burnham is like Bobby, where she is strong and she takes no shit from anyone and she can just literally beat down anyone, yeah? And then she turns around and says that Michael Burnham is like Avasarala, where Avasarala is clever and politically minded and she's always playing games with people and she's always one step ahead, yeah? And I heard that and I went, you can start to see the problem with Michael Burnham, where in The Expanse, these characters are three clearly different people, where Bobby, if you see her in real life, is a big woman. Yeah.
She's Maori, not, isn't
she? She's Maori, yeah. She's not. She's Samoan.
Oh, yeah, that big people as well. I've seen their rugby team. They're fucking huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's huge as it is, yeah? And even the book, she's huge. Yeah. That's why she can hammer down a bloke, and plus she adds the power armor to it, and then she could really fucking do some damage in that. And then you got Naomi, who is a genius engineer who did something very wrong in the past, which in the next series might come back to bite her on the ass, or the series after that might come back to bite her on the ass, and almost destroys the Rosinante. But those characters, those three characters, are far more fucking interesting than one Michael Burnham. And I don't know why they need to turn the character down a bit, because the characters I like are Stamets, Who's the captain who should be the captain?
Oh.
The coward in the first episode.
Saru.
He's a great one. And Tilly's a great character. They're three really good characters. Mm. But I'm not interested in Michael Burnham.
But here's the thing, right? If it is the Borg, then they are going to have to bring back another character. Because if they are going to do something around the Borg, Picard's not the only Borg specialist. There's one more.
Archer didn't have that much.
No, not fuck Archer. It's Janeway.
No, you can't. No, you don't.
But the thing is, this opens
she'll
up.
She'll get her stranded in deep space. Actually, saying that, she'll get him stranded in deep space. Michael Burnham will get him back 5 minutes later.
No, but I.
They got
I
a think spore drive.
If Picard's going to be leading this series, it does open up the. To have cameo roles from all the original. All three of those series. You know, you got Deep Space Nine, you've got Voyager, you've got Next Generation, you've got all of those characters that could come in.
Did Sisko disappear at the end of Deep Space Nine?
Sisko went off to spend some time with the wormhole aliens. So technically he's not dead.
Okay.
So he could come back. There is so much opportunity here, and with a if it gets the production value of Discovery, I think as I said, this will end up being way, way better.
I don't know, because it's just going to be. I don't think it will be. It's because one, it's going to be Earth based. If they're going to do an Canopy thing, unless it's Picard taking a crew out to give them a rundown.
It could be anything. He could be Admiral Picard by now.
Given what they've done with Discovery, it sounds like they're clutching at straws, if that makes sense.
Well, no, they've hired that bloke that was responsible. What's it? Alex Kurtzman, isn't it? Isn't that his name?
Yeah, one of my most hated writers of all time.
Oh, fair enough.
Kurtzman, Orsi, and Abrams are people who I'd fire into the sun if I could get away with
Unfortunately, it. Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, Abrahams is responsible for some of the most popular series. And he was responsible for Fringe, and Fringe was good.
He was responsible for the first two series of Fringe. It got better after the first two series of Fringe when he left. It started making more sense. It was a bit more cohesive. It had a storyline and an end goal at that point.
I don't know. I'm up for watching this because you know I like Patrick Stewart and I like the character of Picard. So I think this could be interesting, and I think this is going to win over a lot of Trekkies. And they're clearly doing it too because it's going to be a CBS All Access series. So they've obviously shrunk money into this already just to get the rights, because didn't Paramount own the rights to Picard, or did they just buy the original universe over? And I know there's some weird rights issues.
Right, okay. The rights are split between the TV universe and the film universe, yeah? So CBS have TV rights for the universe. So you can't have, in the new series, you can't have the new Enterprise E. Or what was it? Was the Sovereign class Enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can have the Galaxy class Enterprise because that was TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't have the Define. You can't have Deep Space Nine in there. You can have Voyager in there. But you can't have the new Enterprise in there from the J.J. Abrams first.
Yeah, but it's going to be post Enterprise anyway, which is, again, I think a good move. You don't want to go back to what there was before. You don't want Picard, you know, still somebody still like captaining the Enterprise. No, it's got to be something different. I mean, there's one character that, unless
no,
they can come
actually,
up.
Actually, no, I think what they should do is they should go back to the Enterprise, yeah, and they should have it as follows. He's got the Enterprise, yeah, he's old and it's an aging ship, yeah. He's going to, the Enterprise is going to be mothballed in, say, 3 years' time, yeah. And he's going to retire in 3 years' time, right? And it's the fact that he's going to be retired and he has got a different perspective on the world that he has experienced all this stuff, yeah? And this is a sense of someone who is trying to wind down the situations, and things occur that don't allow it to wind down as much.
Maybe. I think it's going to, look, it's certainly going to get them some subscribers, and it's going to get them a fucking bucket load of subscribers. I really do.
If it makes it out of production.
Oh, it will. It will.
Right. Because the whole Star Trek Academy thing was floated around after Star Trek Next Generation ended.
Yeah, no, it's been floated around for the last 20-odd years. They've tried to make a movie out of it and stuff, and there is now rumour going to be a Star Trek Academy series. I don't think that's the Picard series. I think this is going to be something different. There's four rumoured series, Discovery, the Picard series, and two others. One of them was an animated series, and the other one, we don't know. That could be the Academy series. I hope it's not Picard teaching at the Academy, because that'd just be rubbish. So
Today's lesson.
Today's lesson is when they say bring it in closer, your job is to turn around and say no. 90% of starship accidents happen when someone says, can we get a little fucking closer? Seriously, watch any episode of Star Trek. Oh, let's get a little closer. That's when everything fucks up. Yeah?
Right.
It's the one rule. It's the one rule as a captain that you should know. Yeah? Along with, I'm not wearing that fucking red shirt. They're command shirts now. I don't care if it's a command shirt. I'm not fucking wearing it. So, yeah, we've got that. The other thing, too, is I watched the trailer for The Orville. And it had a certain tone and a feel to it. And the tone and the feel to The Orville was everybody's welcome, everybody's included kind of feel to it. And then it had a kick-ass soundtrack, which was like an orchestrated version of All Right Now, and I can't remember who does it. And then I watched the Star Trek Discovery trailer. This was like a while back when we did a trailer watch, yeah? And I realised that Star Trek Discovery was like the opposite.
Yeah.
Only a few people can see it. And luckily, Burnham is one of those people. Yeah. Right? So it's like kind of only a few versus for everyone. Do you see a thing here? Because Star Trek was for everyone. But now Star Trek is only for a few special people. And it's like, really? Bollocks. It's like kind of, if you'd have turned around and said, I was just lucky. Yeah, I would have gone, fair enough.
That trailer was cut only a few weeks, you know, within the time that the showrunners left. So maybe those two showrunners definitely had a fucking political agenda going on. And maybe CBS has just had enough of it and shut it down and listened to the fans going,
no, they were fine. It wasn't about the political agenda. They were genuinely horrible fucking people.
Oh, fair enough.
The stories that they were horrible fucking people. The writers, there were writers who in the writing room were being shouted at and whatnot, and they sounded genuinely horrible from what I heard. They sound like bad bosses. And considering they pissed away most of the money at the beginning of the series, so they didn't have anything for the end of the series, kind of makes sense.
Mm.
But I still think that political agenda stuff is still going to be there.
Mm. Well, let's hope the Picard series isn't. Anyway, we should move on and talk some other shit.
It's Knight's turn now. It's the rain.
Yeah, I've finally seen some of it.
Some of it? Oh, come on, Knight.
Yeah, well.
Now, did you watch it with subtitles or dubbed? He watched the dubbed version. I'm too lazy for
subtitles. I watched the dub.
He watched the dubbed version.
Yeah. I've been watching it in the evenings, you know, when I'm getting a bit tired. So I can't be
sorry, asked. Nige, you haven't experienced the rain until you've heard it in its original Danish.
Danish.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I am watching it with my wife, who isn't a native English speaker. So for her to listen to Danish and try and read English on the subtitles as quickly as they're talking, I don't think that would really happen.
Put Chinese subtitles on for it.
Well, then how am I going to listen?
You just have to bear with it, really.
So, yeah.
Happy wife, happy, medium, happy life.
Dubbed. Happy wife, happy life. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We watched one, and it was, we watched the first one. We thought, yeah, do you know what? This is interesting. And it, we didn't get around to watching the second episode for a couple of weeks, which was a few days back now. And then we sort of blitzed through about six of them. So we've got only one more to watch now. And it quite nice. I think it's quite a good story. It doesn't hop around too much like some other series that are out there where they hop around and then you don't have a clue whether or not in your past, present, future, fucking, you know, Westworld. And this one, it tends to, I've noticed, it started telling the story of this group of people, and it will tell this individual story of how they all sort of met each other and how they ended up being a group. Like the guy with curly hair and glasses, Gareth, he was taken, his family died, and he was taken in by a friendly husband and wife and their deaf daughter.
Yeah, who accidentally killed.
And the people who are taken, and they're the group of people who are from Apollon, you find out from Apollon, go to their place that they're living. It's like a little farm. And he's in the shed and shit with the dads. So I think they're fixing a tractor or something. And the daughter. These people turn up. The dad goes out and they've got weapons on him. And he's like, what the fuck? The kid with the curly hair sort of sees this and he goes, right, we got to hide. And he hides with the girl. And it's tragic because she's trying to call out for her dad and stuff. And he's sort of going, you've got to keep quiet. And he can't fucking do sign language like her parents can. So he can't tell her what's going on. And fucking shit goes down, man. It's tragic what happens to him. And the girl and the family. It's tragic. I like the way they're doing, it's almost like at each episode, they're taking one person and they're going, right, we'll tell you a little bit about their backstory, what happened at the initial rain, when the rain came down and poisons came from the sky, and a little bit how they got to where they are now and why they're integral to the group as such, why they're part of the group. I thought that was quite nice because we already knew what happens with Rasmus and his sister. I forget her name. Is it Simone? Simone? Being in the bunker from the start because her father works for Apollon, and her father's probably the cause of the rain and the poison in the rain.
Yeah.
Or the virus in the rain. And I've just got to the point, Keith, where the last episode there, it was all sort of coming. Actually, the episode before was funny. They found this, it looked like a convent. Everyone's wearing the same clothes. And I said, and they're in this like freaky manor house, aren't they? It looks like where they would film a spooky film or a scary film or something, right? And they're going, yeah, don't quite like the look of that. And they go there anyway, and they have to surrender their weapons to be able to go in from the rain because it's about to start pissing down. And they're, at this point, really scared of the rain and shit. And go in, and only one of them, I forget his name, is it Martin? The main guy.
Martin, yeah, because it's not Martin, it's Martin. It's Martin. 10 with an E.
Because you got two blokes, two mates. You've got the bloke with curly hair. You've got the bloke who's always got the rifle.
Yeah.
Who's sort of leading the group. Crunchy. And then you've got the other guy as well. The he's a bit off the cuff. You know,
yeah.
A little bit rogue. And they go in, the leader's sort of like, it's a bit off. And everyone else is like, yeah, chill, mate. So what? They're making us, wear gowns everywhere and everything's a little bit chilled and everything's a little bit like a cult in here. You know, chill. We've got a roof over our head. We're eating. We're clean. We've had a shower. And, yeah, it's all a little bit suspicious. And he was sort of investigating everywhere. And he went downstairs and he saw something. He was like, what's going on here then? And he got told to get the fuck out, basically. And he was like, what are they chopping up? Got told to fuck off. And he's like, okay. And he's telling the others, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And they get invited to a meal, don't they? as soon as they got, it's a special monthly meal. And a special monthly meal, they only have it once a month, and they have to eat in complete silence. I thought, that's fucking weird. You know, there's not any talk. The only person who didn't eat any, I think, was Martin, who's still doing some investigations and shit while everyone's upstairs eating. And I said to the missus, do you know what we haven't seen so far? I said, do you remember in The Walking Dead where we had Terminus? They were cannibals.
Yeah.
I said, it feels a little bit like that. You know, they're all welcoming when you come in. And at Terminus, they were told to surrender their weapons, I think, if I'm right. Told to surrender their weapons and be a part of the community and stuff like that. You know, people were taken in going, yeah, do you know what? This is what we've been looking for. You know, only to be locked away and then one by one
eaten,
slaughtered and eaten by the group. Because you're looking around, they're all eating shit and you're going, okay, this is a bit fucking weird. There's only a few vegetable patches here. And it was very much the same with this, with the rain, because you're looking around and going, yeah, we've got fresh tomatoes, we've got fucking fruit, yeah. And they're eating meat and going, where's the meat? I don't see any fucking cattle anywhere, mate. And you're going, they're fucking cannibals. But where are they getting their human meat from? And then you find out. They do sort of a random selection process rather than treating everybody who comes in as potential food. They're treating it as a random selection with everybody who's eaten the meat. Because when you've eaten the meal, the monthly meal, you are deemed to be a part of the gang. And yeah, you get a little black, you have to pick a little black package out. Everyone picks one out. And the one person who opens it has a little flower inside. That's the person who is the next offering to the group. And you have to immediately go downstairs with the people and get slaughtered. Oh, fuck me, that's a bit weird. It's a bit, you know. But, you know, the girl, they had focused on this episode. They'd focused on the girl with braces. I don't know her name. Is it? See, Lee?
Beatrice, is it?
No, not yeah. Beatrice is the brunette. Could be Lee. Because they'd focused on her.
Oh, Beatrice is the one. Yeah, it's Lee.
Beatrice is the one in the next episode who, yeah.
Gets fucked to death.
Yeah, they focused on her during the episode, so you knew something was going to happen.
That is evil, Gaff. And,
yeah.
It's true.
Mate, it's so true. Because we're skipping that expert. I was saying to Gaff earlier, I was saying to her, it was quite obvious, you know, Rasmus really fancied Beatrice. That was obvious. And Beatrice quite fancied him, it looked like it, yeah. Very obvious. And they needed to go off to the next bunker to try and find more supplies and all that sort of stuff. And Rasmus said he can't move, he's not well enough, blah, blah, blah. Beatrice said she'd look after him. Everyone else fucked off. And he went, right. So Rasmus has put his plan in action. This is where he's going to spend his time getting to know Beatrice. They get to know, and they're inside, and it starts to rain. And they have to stay inside. And the guys have met made it to the bunker. They've gone inside, found it a little bit weird in there, a little bit fucked, and they've come across videos of where the person in the bunker has been experimenting on people. He's been snatching people and taking them to the bunker and experimenting on the virus, yeah, to see if he can find somebody who's immune, I guess. And they don't know that's the case until they find the videos. They just think it's a family who's living there, and much like what happened to Simone and Rasmus when they were left in the bunker for like 6 years. And it's raining, it's fucking heavy rain, man. And skipping back to Beatrice and Rasmus, they're in the house, and I think they're upstairs, and then suddenly, even though the house looks in perfectly good condition, and the roof looks completely fine, water starts seeping through the ceiling boards, and one of the drops hits Beatrice, and she starts freaking out. This is while they've got to know each other really well, and you knew as soon as they got to know each other really well, some shit was going to happen. And to be fair, it did. You know, the rain is what has got the virus in it. And she felt a drop on her face, and she's like looking around going, what the fuck was that? And realises she's had water on her face. Freaking out, Rasmus sort of grabs her and goes, I'm not letting you go, and kisses her. He goes, we'll die together. And shit like that, you know. She found that all romantic, blah, 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 blah. And then they find themselves in the garage port area. So all I can describe it as the garage port area, which is, it hasn't even got a garage door. It's like open to the elements. And they know, because earlier on in that episode, they are talking about dogs and animals who carry the disease but aren't affected by it. And yet they go and sleep downstairs. They've been alive, she especially, has been alive for 6 years with this knowledge of that's going. Maybe she's known about it for like 4 or 5 years, but she'd known about it for what? Why would you sleep out in the open when you know this is the case? Especially dogs, they're friendly fuckers, aren't they? Most of them. And Rasmus wakes up with the dog licking her face. And his face, and his shoes are away, and then he's like going, oh, fuck, fuck. And she's already dead. He sort of panics, thinks that she's still alive and shit. And I looked at him and went, she's dead. There's no way that dog did that. So he's a carrier. He's immune. We know that he's special because of the dad, don't we? We know he's special because the dad mentions it in the very first episode. Because that's what he used to cure Rasmus from whatever cancer he had.
We can't talk about the final episode because he still hasn't seen it, but
he hasn't seen it.
You're kind of on the right track, but
he's a carrier. He's immune.
He's a bit more than immune, that.
So he's a carrier, so he can pass it on via body fluids. Hence why what he essentially did was killed her via SDI.
Yes.
So, you know, he killed her in the throes of passion. But he doesn't know that, and nor do the others. And what they did, I thought was really clever, was Chekhov's gun, really. Like, they proved it. They proved your suspicion by near the end of the thing where he had called the people in who are hunting immune people. And they'd actually already got one of the group because he'd been kicked out. And I skipped the whole section because of that. The bunker at the same time, there's a little fight, a little scuffle between Simone and the guy with the baseball cap. Bit of a layabout, fucking idiot. He took the wrong idea about Simone, and she's pushed him away when he's tried to kiss her. And he's pushed her back, but into the rain. And she stood there in the rain for a good minute or so, and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens to her, and you're going, ooh, either she's immune, or actually, they found a cure for the rain, and it's no longer doing, you know, the whole giving people a sickness when they're rained on.
You need to watch the final episode.
I know. And so I think they've actually... I think it's sort of like a placebo effect, but everyone at the offset, the first maybe half year or maybe, you know, until it's all out of the systems and whatnot, people were dying because of the rain and it was infecting them and shit like that. But as time went on, it's dissipated and whatnot. Maybe it's in the rivers and the lakes, who knows? However, the rain is now no longer affecting people. But nobody knows that because everyone's staying out of the rain to find out. Nobody's going to willingly stand in the rain because they know that's what affected people. So that's why when they accidentally found out that she was all right and they all went out and joined her and danced around and all that bollocks, you know, they found out actually the rain might not be an issue anymore. And then they fully confirmed Rasmus being immune or able to fight it off by him stabbing himself in the neck because he doesn't want to live anymore because his one true love, Beatrice, is dead. And then he comes back to him and goes, oh, actually, I'm all right. And they all go off. I thought that was... The way it's put together is really, really good.
Watch the next episode.
I don't know. I'm hoping to watch it tonight, to be honest. It's actually a really good episode, whether or not you watch it with subtitles or whether or not you decide to watch it in dubbing. There was one bit in there where they tell you about the people, the Snatchers, but they actually take you to the Apollon sort of starting area, don't they? And they've got a video on. Not a recruitment video, it's more of a, they're giving people pills and stuff and making them swallow them. And then he goes, actually, just to let you know, those aren't vitamins that you're having. That was a pill that, should you go past a certain boundary, it'll release the toxin and you will be infected and you will die. So it's their way of controlling people to do what they want, them to do. And one person decided that he'd run off and try this. And he ran past, alarms went off. 2 seconds later, he's puking his arse off, and he's dead. And I thought, well, now you can understand the motives behind these Snatchers as to why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. There's more to it. And it's getting another series, isn't it?
I
don't know.
We kind of find it out.
It kind of does end a bit open-ended.
Does it?
Yes, well, it answers a lot of questions, don't worry. But it does kind of end a bit open-ended that we could get another series out.
Okay.
Well, anyway. They say it was renewed on that
means
by
it's got another, yeah, it means it's got another series. I thought it was.
Yeah. I can't see...
Next year,
anywhere
at some point.
Probably next year.
It will
go back
year.
Into production later this year and arrive in 2019.
There you go.
It was released in May this year. May next year would maybe be a bit too tight, so it might be a bit later. But I thought it was really, really good. Do you know, it reminds me of 28 Days Later, where people are rage infected. Just this
more
blood.
It does have that vibe to it.
Yeah, and then they'll start puking everywhere. And if you get the smallest bit of blood or transfer from an infected to yourself, very, very quickly you will then transfer. And in this case, you'll, you know, fucking die. So, I like it. I think it's a really good season, despite it being Danish and can't understand a word. The dubbing isn't too bad, I'll be honest.
I'll give you that. It isn't that bad.
No, it's... Yeah, it is funny watching their mouths move and English coming out, and you're going, it doesn't look right. But don't focus on the mouths. Focus on what's going on around and you'll be all right. I think it's really, really good. You like it, Keith, yeah?
Yes, I thought it was a very good series.
I know Gareth does. Yeah, he's the one who recommended it, so he wouldn't have recommended it without, you know.
I mean, not to apply to his ego, but his recommendations are usually quite good.
Yeah, he recommended The Expanse, and I kept thinking, oh, it's too sciencey for me.
The Expanse is fucking awesome. I loved it. Fucking awesome.
I wouldn't say that to his face, you know, in the same room, because I'd never live it down. At least on this Skype call, I could, like, close it off when his head gets a bit big.
Claim the recording, it didn't take place.
Yeah. I never agreed with Gareth's opinion.
Right.
No, what's a really good recommendation. If you've got Netflix, definitely watch it. Just look past the fact it's Danish. It's decent.
There's nothing wrong with Danish. There's a lot of Danish drama. It's very popular. Is the bridge
Danish?
It's the
fact it's a different language. That's the thing.
Is the bridge Danish or is that Norwegian?
I can't remember.
The bridge?
It's been on BBC for another popular, it's one of the jumper dramas.
The jumper dramas.
What's next on the list, Gaz?
Well, I think that's Danish.
Okay.
Swedish and Danish.
I was going to talk about Final Space, but we're kind of overrunning a bit. So I will skip to... what'd you get if a lesbian, a small girl, and Linda Hamilton walk into a bar?
A bad joke.
The new Terminator film.
It's not. Also it's Bieber. It's Bieber in the middle. It's not. It's Bieber.
No, it's not. It's a lesbian. All right. A poster for the new Terminator film came out, and it looks fucking dreadful. And I mean, fucking dreadful. If you want to replace Arnie.
Go on.
Okay. If you want to replace Arnie in the Terminator series, Dave Bautista would do a treat.
Yeah.
Oh, he would actually, yeah.
Yeah.
He would be an absolute fucking treat. And if you really wanted to go for star power, you could even push The Rock. Yeah? But not a skinny-ass lesbian. Yeah? Because the idea is that underneath all that muscle is a machine. And the reason that Arnie was so big is because there was a fucking machine underneath.
I know the idea from, Terminator 1 and 2. Absolutely, he was fucking a machine. And back then, Arnie was, you know, he was in, wasn't he? He was massive. And then didn't they switch up a little bit? They made him, was it number 3 that was a liquid cop?
The second one,
because they turned him. But then what they did is they used Arnie in the like saving capacity, so he's a beast of him, you know, a machine, and he's trying to save.
But that's what made Terminator 2 Judgment Day such a good movie. I mean, there has not been a good Terminator movie since that movie. Terminator 3 wasn't really that good. Terminator 4 was, what the fuck, I don't even remember that. And the last
one... Hang on a second.
I can't even remember what number 3 was.
When they blow up
Terminator 3 was the one where John Connor just survives the nuclear war. And I'll be honest with you, the last third of that film was the best part of the film, where the machines genuinely rise up and destroy the planet. Because you think he's going to stop it, and it's like, no, this shit needs to happen, I'm afraid. And that's the only bit I liked about it. The others were just a retreads of Terminator and Terminator 2.
Number 3 was with the woman Terminator, wasn't it?
Yeah, the woman Terminator. And then there was Terminator Salvation with Christian Bale, which was okay. They kind of ruined the twist in the fucking advert, which would have been much better if I hadn't known that. And then you had Terminator Genesis, where they went, oh, hey, Kyle Reese, remember you were the hero of the story? No, you're not. Not anymore. And it was like, oh, a bit fucking pointless traveling back in time. Tony find out that fucking Doctor Who's now taken over. An evil version of Doctor Who has taken over fucking Skynet. Which was the Terminator Genesis one, which didn't pan out. I don't think this one's going to pan out either. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you're going to have to pull out a pretty fucking good trailer to make me go, wow, I'm up for that. Because I'm not convinced.
Not by that poster, no. I mean,
it's a terrible fucking poster. Just in general. Forget the fact that it's a Terminator poster. It should be machines in the background, explosions everywhere. Yeah? And a half Terminator, half person machine somewhere central in the picture. Or Linda Hamilton in the picture. And I'm a bit annoyed that it's taken this long to get Linda Hamilton back, only for it to come across as a bit shit.
Yeah,
because Linda Hamilton is one of the big heroines of the sci-fi kind of area.
She's awesome. And she was brilliant in Terminator 2. Why can't they just leave things alone that don't... I know that we're in an age of reboots and things like that because nobody can think of anything, but there are certain things... You've tried three times to make a film as good as Terminator 2 and you have failed. Leave it alone. There's only so much you can do with it. And
is it because
three different actresses it play Sarah Connor and Linda Hamilton will always be
Sarah. Who's
TV
the third
series.
Sarah Connor?
There's a TV series.
I know that one. That's Lana Headley or whatever her name is from Game of Thrones.
Emily Clarke
Emily Clarke from Game of Thrones. Yeah. I've seen a picture here. I've got another actress here from Game of fucking Thrones. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's the third one. Emily Clarke. I forgot her. Oops.
I don't know. That poster just to me looks, oh, look, we're going all politically correct, and except that we've got, seriously, I know. You're telling me it's a woman. It's Bieber.
Bieber's shorter. Actually, Bieber would probably be a bit more imposing.
No, don't say that.
Have you seen him in CSI where he gets the shit blown out of him?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's the best moment if anything could happen in real life.
I watched a YouTube video where someone had got that and then they extended it by an extra 5 minutes. So it's an extra 5 minutes of him being blown away.
Wonderful.
And it's fucking gratuitous. It's great.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm not sold by it. You're gonna have to put out a pretty fucking spectacular trailer to my interest to even slightly peak. You know what I mean?
That poster is a dreadful poster. It's three people. They're not even together. You can see that quickly they've been photoshopped in, and it just looks shite. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whoever their marketing people are from that, they need to get some fucking money.
To be
back.
Honest, fuck the other two girls. If you just put the fucking poster out with what's her face in the middle holding that gun, you're going, all right, I'll wait for the next trailer. Those other two girls ruin it.
Keith, this is how the posters should go, yeah? Linda Hamilton in the center, full figure, yeah? Behind her, the big shadowy head of a T-800 with no skin on. All right, next to it, you've got Hunter Killers flying out the sides of it. Hunter Killers flying out the sides of it. Those the tank things that they have, two coming out the bits, yeah? And then maybe those two hidden somewhere in the picture, so we have to guess what's going on. Who are these two people? Because they're there in the picture, but they're not quite there in the picture. See, I could thin you Photoshop with me yelling at you for a good 20 minutes, could have got a better job done.
Yeah, true.
And that 20 minutes of me yelling at you is extra important.
No, this is true. This is true.
Okay, let's go from one bad thing to one good thing. The final Venom trailer came out, and I'm sold. I'm genuinely sold.
You've gone from having no fucking interest in this film whatsoever to going, I'm going to go and see this. I'm actually going to go and see this.
I'm going to go and see this. My brother said he was going to see it because it's got Tom Hardy in it. And he said, and then he was like, it's got Tom Hardy in it twice. So let me guess, Alex.
Yeah. Fucking didn't even have to tell you which brother that was. Well, he's a goose, really.
As soon as I found out that Tom Hardy was fucking double dipping, which is his big thing he loves doing, is to double dip when it comes to film, so I'll get paid for two roles. I've got Venom and I've got Eddie Brock in this one. And then they showed that trailer. The first trailer they showed came out, they showed no Venom. And then the second trailer came out and they showed Venom at the end. And then this trailer, they went, here you go, plenty of fucking Venom. Lap it up. And they got tons of Venom in it. You get to see one of the other symbiotes riot quite clearly, which isn't Carnage, by the way. And you've got to see another one, Scream, which you don't get to see very well, which is the paramedic that gets infected, which looks good. She looks like the actress who plays Clarissa Mao in fucking Expanse.
Could be her.
I don't think she is. I was hoping she would be, because that'd be quite cool. So she looks like her. And it looks action-packed. It looks a bit violent.
Do you think they're holding back Carnage?
Yeah, they're holding back Carnage.
Yeah. Is this set in the MCU? Is this set with Spider-Man?
There's a weird way they refer to it. It's the MCU movies affect the universe, but this universe doesn't affect the MCU movies. So Spider-Man, there's a chance that Spider-Man could be in it, and there's a chance that at the end of it Eddie Brock could fuck off to New York or whatever. We don't know. I wouldn't rule it out, but as I said before, Tom Hardy was interviewed and he said, who would you like to see Venom go up against? And they went Tom Holland, Spider-Man, which he laughed. He went, he'd tear him to shreds in seconds. And considering in the comic books, Venom has actually beat the shit out of Superman. That's, you know, without fucking kryptonite.
Yep.
And considering Superman's got heat vision, which is one of Venom's weaknesses, and like kind of he can create like a sonic clap, another one of fucking Venom's weaknesses. Venom must have fought really fucking hard to take the shit out of him.
No, I have to admit, I shall probably go and see this on that trailer. That bit at the end where he literally eats the robber dude and then turns back into Eddie Brock, and then Eddie Brock looks at the shop assistant and goes, sorry, I've got a parasite problem. That I was pissing myself laughing.
We don't know if he eats him, because in the comic books, I think, I don't know which version of the Venom comic books is, that he does like to drink bits of like cerebral fluid. So he bites into the head and drinks that cerebral fluid out someone's head. Oh, they don't die, but he gets off on like the adrenaline and all the stuff that's flowing through them, and that's one of the reasons that he can bond with Eddie without having to make him, you know, produce all that adrenaline and negative shit. But yeah, we've got to does he just literally bite into the skulls and drink their fucking brains, or does he eat their brains like a zombie? We don't know, but it's going to be fun finding out.
Yes, it is.
Okay, on that note, I think it's time we said goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you in the next podcast.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monkeynutpunch. We'll be right back.
because I don't want you going back in hospital.
No, it won't make me up. I'm doing
it. Were you allergic? Was that what it was? I've got to mix the podcast down. Ah, oh, the plague! Get me to hospital quick!
Yeah.
Everything else is just made up. You just went, look, he went into the hospital and said, look, I'll pay you like 100 baht or whatever it is if I could just lie on his bed and let my wife take up the pictures. Because not only do I get out mixing the podcast down, get out work too.
Fuckers.
That's a brilliant idea now. I think about it. I might try that. Okay.